Welcome back to Pax Europiana, to our debate about peace and prosperity and reforms, economic reforms in Europe. And I will now discuss, and actually the European things, they can always be applied in many other parts of the world, because what I discuss now is about the pan-European capital market. That's important, and the freedom of movement of capitals. That's the internal market logic, basically. It's the freedom of capital which we have in the European Union. And imagine always how complicated Europe was and how divided and segmented it was after the Second World War, and how much courage and reforms it took to create this free movement of capital which we have established now inside the European Union. But even today, in 2021, it's not complete, far from it. We don't have a unified capital market like the US. We want it, we need it, we need to achieve much more unity in these important areas, much more freedom for capital. That's very important. Capital is not the capitalists, and some dangerous dominating kind of clique to exploit the poor. No, it's your freedom to invest, it's your freedom to transfer money, it's your freedom to work in one country and to invest in another country. This should be respected, to really have the same level of freedom to use your capital according to the regulations in California or in Massachusetts or Alaska or Hawaii, and to live and work there and transfer money like you have should have it also in the European Union. We have made progress, but we are, you know, not perfect. Yeah? And especially we are not perfect when it comes, when that's what I call a pan-European capital market, pan-European freedom of capital. It's very important to include Ukraine, the Balkans, Georgia, Moldova, the future members of the European Union in this capital market, in this pan-European capital market, and to make it easier to transfer, to invest, to have similar rules, to make one big capital market, freedom of capital, of all free Europe, and not let big divergence happening with the United Kingdom, have EFTA, that means Switzerland, and Norway included, obviously, and Iceland, and Liechtenstein, and obviously also Ukraine, Georgia, Moldova, Serbia, Kosovo, Albania. This is really very important, and this really is why we are not as rich as we could be, because we are simply not united. And the Eastern Partnership countries, they were promised to have sector integration in many of the sectors of the European Union in 2017, and we are stuck. We don't make big progress. Capital Market Union was promised already in the last mandate of the European Union, and we are stuck. Yeah? And that's not good. Now in the new mandate, I understand it's Corona, it's complicated, but we should get this done until 2024. Capital Market Union, absolutely. And also, that's important, the next part I won't like to talk about, the important part. We have two weak institutions against the money laundering in the European Union, because a European capital market must come attached also with a stricter supervision of this freedom. That means there's evil actors, there's especially Russian money laundering, mainly Russian money laundering in the European Union, but it's huge, it's big. Yeah? There's also money from criminal sources, like organized crime, etc. And that's also a major problem. Yeah? And we have to have the institutions. We want to be like America, but we don't have this kind of institutions on the European level. Now, this November in 2020, it was finally, you know, we are now 70 years old, and it was decided to have an agency against money laundering on the European level. I mean, you have to imagine, and it's still not there. It's just a basic decision to have it. Man, this is, I think most people would be quite surprised to learn that something like that doesn't exist. But no, we do that on a national level. We don't coordinate very well between our agencies. And then the international money laundering rings, mean it from Russia or from the mafia or maybe some other organized criminalities, they have a really fantastic life in Europe. Yeah? It's simple, it's easy. Yeah? The cross-border coordination is minimal, And we have all these situations. I mean, we can be very sure that Russia will never attack us because all the money is already there in the European Union. How would Putin attack France or Malta or Cyprus or Austria when half his fortune is parked in properties and financial assets in all these locations, Luxembourg included, Finland, you name it, you have it. And we, you know, we are safe by that. Okay, that was maybe not so funny as I think. And it's not funny meant, yeah. The situation is we have really to clean up the mess. I want to explain how it developed, this mess. It's very important to understand also the context, because basically in this surprising breakdown of the Soviet Union, the whole Soviet Union structures outside of the Soviet Union, and they also had to buy some raw materials or had to bribe some people in technology firms to steal the secrets or to fund their spy rings or whatever they had to do. And all this kind of foreign intelligence assets and foreign trade assets were privatized by the station managers. Meaning, for example, you were a Soviet operative in an embassy in D.C., in Washington, in the year 1990-91. The Soviet Union broke down and all these people, they privatized among themselves, basically, in the chaotic breakup of the Soviet Union where nobody looked, and they privatized these foreign assets. And similar things happened in the Soviet Union, especially in Russia, but also in Ukraine. Many were the basically so-called privatization. That was basically stealing of what was there from the companies, from the assets. And there were a lot of assets. Yeah? There were also financial assets. Yeah? The Soviet Union was a major petrol exporter. There was obviously a lot of money around. Obviously not enough for all their global empire. But for some millions, for a few, is always enough to start a banking empire in London or some kind of property empire in New York or whatever. And so it all happened. The slogan, if you want to research a bit, it's called FIMACO, and that's the start of it. It's very important. Go to Wikipedia, check it out. FIMACO was basically the Soviet asset in America. That was their financial holding. And then this was basically privatized by the few. And then it was the start of many successful businesses because they had some millions of startup capital. And so the Russian Soviet intelligence operative, they knew very well the ideology that you need to control the means of production. And they tried to control the means of production. And they do. And so that's basically for 30 years the story. And then obviously you clean it, you operate it, you somehow transfer it in European or American asset. We sadly in America and in Europe always, and in the UK, you know, the famous Londongrad, we always treat that when there is no way to really check it because there is no compliance of the Russian tax authorities. And then we treat it simply as foreign direct investment. We close our eyes and we ask no questions and we are happy to get our commissions in the property business, in the financial transactions or in the whatever kind of financial advisory we call it then. And we basically do everything to legalize it and to get rich together with this kind of money laundering schemes. Similar things, but more criminal in a way, more clearly criminal, is also happening in many aspects of the organized criminalities from different ethnic groups, especially from the Italians in Europe. And then it escalates from time to time. In Slovakia, you might remember the big murder on this couple, a young couple, a very tragic incident when you have this Italian mafia money laundering scheme in Slovakia covered by the politics. Then comes the whistleblower or the investigative journalist, and obviously then there comes the murder. And this is the tragic consequences of a system which is unfortunately not focused on supervision of what kind of transactions are taking place. Obviously, with higher supervisions, maybe it is only the transactions get be more sophisticated, but you have to somehow intensify the screw to upwards to make sure that supervision and control and is really working in a way, and that the people who have these funds, they probably should not invest it at least in a clean jurisdiction as the European Union and invest it in high-risk places like probably back home. Good. Anyhow, that's very important. But there is hope. There is this agency for, and there will hopefully be this agency against money laundering. There's also now more awareness with all these Navalny videos about the extent. Actually, there's wonderful videos. I will not draw your attention. Some two of them I've seen personally, and I love it, and I recommend them. It's very important to see the Navalny video about Russian money laundering in Austria with this president of the chairman of the group of the United Russia party in Moscow City Council, having millions and millions of properties in Vienna, in Austrian ski resorts. It's kind of entertaining and shocking at the same time. And also more shocking even, because that's a standard corruption, but the son of the general prosecutor of the Russian Federation, Mr. Chaika, his son, doing a major business venture, a huge, maybe the biggest hotel in Greece, together with the widow of this Russian crime group of the south of Russia. And that's quite shocking, actually. That's really disgusting. You should see this video, Chaika, it's called, of Navalny. I recommend it heavily. So I think, you know, by time we will grow up and we will get better. But the shocking realities are always popping up. Now, recently, there was this major scandal of Wirecard, this financial manipulation. And that was really quite shocking when you see there was a Belarusian Russian with an Austrian passport manipulating and stealing so much with his Wirecard. And then there was basically this situation that he, with the help of some former Austrian secret service operative, and he ran away to Russia. And, you know, nobody really looked into these activities for so long. And it was a huge money laundering operation, as it turned out. And the loss for many European or international investors is huge. And nobody really looks. So we have, for example, a SEC, a kind of Security Exchange Commission. Yeah, but all the things work like this in Europe recently, and since a long time. We know that we need to do these agencies, but the national states, the member states, don't want to share a lot of power. So in the crisis, like now, for example, or recently, they had, of course, they established, I guess, after the financial crisis, this European Financial Supervisory Authority, and as part of building a European capital market. So what it happens, the mechanism is in all these agencies quite similar. You do it, you build an agency, you invest, you fight where it should be located. That's the most important. And then you make two things. You give it very limited authority in regulatory terms. So they can advise, recommend, benchmark, but they cannot order national regulators. They cannot give binding fines, or when very limited. And then additionally, you try to somehow make a compromise which member state diplomat should get this position. And then you often do it that you somehow give a very weak candidate CEO. And then you can be sure, with a very a limited sliver of competence and authority in real terms to enforce regulation, and very insecure, often competent, you know, I didn't say they are incompetent, but very insecure personality, let's say, from Bulgaria, or beautiful country, I love it, but somebody who is really very happy to be in that position, but he's really very careful not to get a call from the national chairman regulator of Germany, which is always the biggest, oh, don't mess up in my business. And then he stays cool. The best example on that one is our European ECDC. We have also a disease control center, like in America. But, you know, advise, benchmark, recommend, that's the mission. And then you put it somewhere. It's good to, I'm totally in favor to put it to Stockholm or Denmark or all these things. And then they do their things. And then you put a nice person there who then makes great reports. But the effective regulatory enforcement is unfortunately not as strong as it should be. And here, I think, then we pay very heavily in the Corona crisis because we have weak institutional framework and we do not like to share so much authority. And then the national regulators dominate, and often they are also very limited in their competences. And also what is happening is they are not having any kind of European effort. And then we are all living in our segmented European reality, and we advise, recommend, and we don't enforce. And, you know, regulatory power also depends on enforcement. Otherwise, it's not taking very serious. So that was for agencies. I will talk about agencies in a separate podcast because there is important aspects on that one, but it goes in that direction. So what it is, the Capital Market Union, it's obviously clear the potential of an 18 trillion economy with a real Capital Market Union, that's of course huge. We can go have more equity-based companies, more IPOs to really have a stronger capital market. That would be fantastic for the European economy and that would be really good for the consumers. We could also have more supervision in the regulatory affairs. I don't want to talk too much about it, but remember, we were so proud about our Landesbanks, our state-owned, state-secured banks, this kind of community-based banking, and it all went bust so much in the 2008 crisis because it was not properly supervised. Yeah? And they went all then to America on big adventures, and the European taxpayers had to pay so severely. Hypo Alpe Adria, Hypo Vereinsbank in Bavaria, Hypo Real Estate, yeah? All these Hypos, yeah? The Hamburger Bank, there are so many scandals attached to it, and so costly it was, because we don't have the serious supervision on the European level, and we are getting now better. You know, there is improvements after the great financial crisis, but I ask myself, is it always necessary to pay hundreds of billions of damages in order to have improvement with the regulatory structure? Didn't we know that there is a SEC in America? Didn't we know that banks need to be supervised? I'm really can only wonder. So, okay, pan-European markets. I have also some, you know, we have even in Austria, I want to draw your attention because I know the Austrian scandals more, but just recently we again had the total breakdown of a regional bank. And for 30 years, the gentleman who privatized that bank out of the Raiffeisen sector in this Mattersburg, it's a very small region, but he managed to steal 40 million. I mean, this is outrageous. We supposedly have a regulatory framework in Europe to avoid this kind of things. And so expensive for the taxpayers. And then all the personal tragedies, all the money lost. And it's, for me, I cannot understand that we have so many regulators, but they are so useless. It's very painful. So let's come to the issue of pan-European transfers, because we have the euro. I talked a lot about the euro as well, and obviously that's very important to have a common currency. We are still much too fragmented in Europe. I call for the euro for Ukraine, for Moldova, Georgia, for Albania, for Serbia, and obviously for Romania, Poland, anyhow it will now happen in Bulgaria and in Croatia. I cannot understand how much time we lost. It's so outrageous that we are delayed. It's really time for more unity and for the euro in all countries, also in Denmark, obviously, also in Sweden. All countries in the European Union, now it's time for the euro. All countries who want to join the euro and the Europe in the future, now it's time for the euro. That's so important. Additionally, that's a minor aspect, but it's also very important, is the transfer systems. We have the single European payment area, and it works very good inside the EU. Now we lost the UK, so it's more expensive to transfer to the UK, but we need to get this done also from Ukraine, Georgia, Moldova, from the Balkans. It must be simple and easy to transfer money. I mean, this is really very important, and I call for that. So I talked about Russia, money laundering, the capital markets, the euro. Yes, I would like to talk also which countries in Europe are especially centers of money laundering and of capital flight from Russia. This is, of course, Cyprus, Malta, Austria, Luxembourg. And maybe some of the authorities will say, no, we are so compliant. But if you look at the statistics or from the Russian Central Bank, where the money from Russia goes, where is the external foreign direct investment of Russia, you see huge amounts in Cyprus. Huge. You see Austria on place three. It's not only Switzerland. Switzerland is also an important factor, and I'm sure also Liechtenstein. Yeah? But it's Luxembourg, yeah? It's Malta. And for the size of their economies, they have huge vehicles for money laundering. And it's not only money laundering in the sense to have capital flight and not to register it towards the Russian tax authorities and then somehow try to wash it into the European property or financial system. No, it's also working like this. Give a lot of money to Cyprus and then buy things anonymously in Russia again or in Ukraine for a long time. And then you somehow hide your own ownership. So the Russian ruling elite around Putin, what they did, bring it out, the money, then make a very anonymous trust or kind of a foundation or whatever kind of financial vehicle, and then to reacquire huge amounts of your own industrial base or financial assets back in Russia or in Kazakhstan or so. You know, and we are complicit in this one. This is outrageous. This is so bad. Yeah, it is basically for the European taxpayers, for the Europeans, very wrong. There's obviously no tax paid. There's obviously abuse. Yeah, but it's also extremely wrong for the Russians. I mean, they don't know who owns it. It's all bypassing the taxation authorities. Yeah, it's a lot of illegal, corruptive money funneled in these vehicles, and then to acquire again with brutality assets in the real economy in Russia. That's totally wrong. Anyhow, we need to get this done. We need also, because everybody will say, oh, Günther, you are for the strong state here. I'm for a state which is able to enforce its laws. I'm for very clear laws and simple taxation, low taxation. But for example, the central bank, the tax agency and the cadastre agency on the European level and on the national level really need to exchange their information and must be clear what is going on. And when there is some suspicious transaction, there must be an investigation. There must be clarity. There must be rule of law. Otherwise, we are in the jungle of the Wild West. Yeah? And that I cannot accept. Yeah? Rules must be rules and must be enforced. And there must be clarity. Otherwise, crime pays off really well. And then you have to educate the young people why it's good to be a law-abiding citizen and contribute to the reasonable economy. And when we lose this debate, yeah, as we have it in the traditional southern Italian mafia places, in some places in the Balkans during the transition, and obviously in Russia, and in sometimes in Ukraine, and in some segments of other societies. But, you know, then it's really very complicated to win it again. And when the culture is entrenched in that aspect, yeah. So there must be clarity that the legal system is strong, that the financial supervision is strong, and crime doesn't pay. And here it's very much about follow the money. It's very much about knowing where the money is invested and also to retake it if it's necessary. And here my favorite topic, which is also quite new information, is about corporate transparency. Now, for example, one of the reasons why these capital riots actually escalated in the US was because on the 1st and 2nd of January, it was on the 1st, I think, the US Senate has overwritten the veto of Trump, because in this National Defense Authorization Act, it was included not only the Nord Stream 2 sanctions, thanks America, please make sure that this terrible pipeline is never finished. And it's really terrible, by the way, ceterum censeo, I hate Nord Stream 2, but it's also very important to see there was a Corporate Transparency Act included. This was a landmark legislation now in force in America that the ultimate owner of a financial vehicle, of an investment fund, or of any kind of shell company must be disclosed. I mean, this anonymous companies is really very wrong. I mean, if you have something to hide, why? Are you a secret service agent? Okay, maybe I can accept there must be some secrecy in such a fact. But where you invest your money, that should be very clear. It should first be taxed in the beginning, And then it should be also clear this asset belongs to you. It's kind of fine, I think so. Of course, you can say, oh, I don't want anybody to know that I'm rich. Yes, okay, now good. That's not so important for the public that your privacy is protected, that you are very rich. Yeah? And when you may be in a secure world, you have to be protected anyhow by the rule of law institutions. And when you stole it, yeah, you shouldn't be protected at all. And when you illegally acquired it, why should we respect your privacy? No, no, no. This is really completely wrong. Corporate ownership must be absolutely transparent, yeah? On the internet, also the property. All these things must be available online. Who owns which company? Yes, yeah? Let it be known. Of course, you know, there can be some minimal thresholds. Yeah? Not every bank account, obviously. I'm for a bank account secrecy and, you know, for a certain limit and threshold. But we should know who is the owner of a big company. And it should be impossible to be the trust of any significant company. And then it's somehow totally impossible to find out who owns major parts of the industry of Russia, for example. Or then they do also a lot of Dutch holdings. Yeah? Dutch is also a big center. I forgot to mention the Dutch. Yeah? And then the Dutch are the biggest investor in Russia. Yes, sure. So please, yeah, this is all utterly defunct and wrong. Obviously, I'm for very low taxes. Yeah, that's important. That's the offer to the investing community and to the shareholding public. Low taxation, but transparency. And transparency and obviously enforcement, yeah. And this is the better deal than what we have it. A lot of secrecy. Ah, he's rich, we don't want to know about it. Yes, he brings his money to Switzerland, that's good, yeah. And then from time to time something pops up and then we buy discs with information from Switzerland, yeah, or from Luxembourg, yeah. No, and then we have all these kind of offshore financial havens, yeah. Man, this is and anonymous, yeah. That's all totally wrong. Obviously, you know, the Panama and also Bahamas, they can offer great offers for financial services. They can offer great and low taxes. I have no problem with them offering also zero taxes, some islands somewhere. You know, it's good. They can offer also great living conditions. It's fantastic, yeah. But anonymous accounts, yeah? Anonymous companies, yeah. And that's totally wrong. And that's against freedom. Huh? That's not your freedom to hide your stolen money. Huh? No, no, no. That's a wrong concept of freedom. Huh? Freedom is responsibility as well. And it comes attached. Huh? Freedom comes also that you have the obligation to pay and the taxes of your jurisdiction. Freedom means also that you have to have the obligation for transparency. Huh? It's also something to applaud it when you are rich because you have created a great company, you invested smart, you are a great personality who produces great, you're a great football player, you know, you are whatever, you are a book author, you are a fantastic podcaster. Okay, that's probably not the road to fame and riches. You know, it's all totally fine. We have to come to a new understanding in a society that it's great when people are rich. Yeah? No policy of envy, no policy of progressive high taxation, no policy of eat the rich. No, 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 that's all wrong. But also we have to come to an understanding that this kind of self-justification, that because of this policy, I have to hide my money in Switzerland, in Austria, in Liechtenstein, in Luxembourg, in the Bahamas. That's all totally wrong. No, it must be clear who owns what, and it must be also accountability why he has it. Yeah? And it's wonderful if you inherited it, if your parents or if your family was rich already. We should accept that that's really good, you know. We are not here to have the equality in the outcome and take it from somebody. Property rights are very important, yeah. And you did a great football game and you earned millions, it's absolutely fine. You are a music star, fine. People want to have this product. You're the result of your labor, you are well deserved even when it's many, many millions, yeah. But not on anonymous kind of corporate asset, because here comes always the clarity. You know, you anyhow cannot enjoy it very well because maybe the fruit of this labor was actually the result, the reason for you having it was corruption, was collusion, was stealing of assets, was basically violent crime or drugs or whatever kind of reason there was to have this kind of wealth. And then it gets all into criminality, then the defense of criminality again by force, and then you have all this kind of negative effects. The inhonesty of our financial system currently, especially in that aspect, of this, on one hand, we have very high taxation. On the other hand, we allow anonymous hiding of money in the capital, in the Guernsey, Isle of Man, all this, and also inside the European. It's this dishonesty. We're driven by high taxation and by this left-wing eat the rich because we should all be equal in the financial outcome. But then the moneyed elite hide the assets in anonymous trust. And of course, the new elites of Russia and of other countries have found this system extremely convenient. Yeah, and the financial service industry has found that extremely lucrative to hide trillions from Russia in the West. And so it's all not really good, yeah? And we should be better than that, yeah? And that's what I also call a pan-European capital market. Include all the decent middle-class people of Ukraine and the Balkans in a normal financial situation where they can transfer money, where they can invest. Allow the Western Europeans or the European middle classes to invest in the stock exchange, which is really working and not manipulated like in Wirecard, where there's real supervision and real progress. We will all be richer and avoid all this kind of dishonesty, high taxation on the one hand in order to have equality, fight inequality, and in reality everybody can hide his asset the moment he has a lot. He can hide it in Switzerland or in Austria and nobody looks and nobody cares and it's totally anonymous and the rest, anyhow, you shouldn't care. So that's really our system at the moment, and we need lower taxes, we need to accept and celebrate success and the resulting success and also the resulting inequality. It's equality in front of the law, equality of opportunity, but not the equality that everybody should be in the age of 60 at the same level of economic results. Why should anybody perform then, when the result is clear? No, of course solidarity, of course welfare state. I made that very clear. Everybody should be helped when he needed, but on a level that he can live, but not on a level that he can prosper. Prosperous and performance must be together, and that must be united. And then we can avoid all this kind of crazy, anonymous kind of capital flight and money laundering and inhonest financial aspects which we have. Yeah? But it needs also that the mainstream of the society understands this dishonesty which is underpinning our system and cuts the taxes to an acceptable social level where everybody is ready to pay and not the whole world is hiding their assets everywhere where they pay zero and it's totally anonymous and then via some other construct they can try to get it back into European jurisdiction and it's all totally dishonest and not good. Huh? And I don't like it. Good. That was my statement to the pan-European capital market. Yeah? Thanks a lot and coming back soon online for peace and happiness.